And welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, sitar master Ashwin Bhatish learned the classical music traditions of India from his father, but his own music takes those traditions and combines them with pop, rock, and jazz for a style of world beat music he calls sitar power. And the Ashwin Bhatish Ensemble is working with students in Spearfish today and performing at the Matthews Opera House tomorrow evening. And we'll hear more about sitar power a little bit later in the show. But first, each week in her column, A Ranch Wife's Slant, Amy Kirk offers a humorous perspective on living and working on a ranch with her husband and two kids near Pringle. She says that in writing, she inadvertently learned that finding humor in unpleasant circumstances can be a coping tool for dealing with the daily challenges of ranch life as well as industry-wide challenges in agriculture. She has a new anthology of her columns. The book is A Ranch Wife's Slant, Cowboys, Kids, and Ranch Life. She writes about the miracle of baling wire, calving season dates with her husband, and the importance of closing the gate. Her columns are filled with memorable lines like, "I can still remember the shirt my husband wore on our first date like it was yesterday. That's because he was wearing it yesterday." Another passage, "The reason why we call our children dependents is simple. We depend on them to do tasks that we put them in charge of, despite assigning them jobs beyond their age level or lifting capabilities." Amy Kirk joins us on the line. And Amy, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Yes, thank you. I am very honored to be a part of the program today.
Well, and reading your columns as collecting this book, I come away with the feeling that being a rancher is a hard life. There's a lot of work involved, but you love it, and you wouldn't have it any other way. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. It can be very stressful, but the rewards are high as well.
And at what point did you start writing about this?
Well, actually, I think I started writing a column in 2007. I had always enjoyed writing, but I keep a journal, and so I would oftentimes journal about some of the big events that was going on the ranch. I kind of wanted to do it sort of as a historical record of the Kirk Ranch, my husband's fourth generation, and over time, I would share some of these with friends, and they just kind of encouraged me to go public, I guess, with it.
What was that? Was that difficult then, going public with this? Because you're writing, rather intimately sometimes about your life with your husband and your family.
Somewhat. I guess I was more concerned about, you know, my writing style, if it would strike a chord with readers, if I felt worthy enough as a writer. And I did share with my family, you know, how comfortable they were. And my husband kind of jokes that he's sort of a part-time editor. So a lot of times I'll run stuff by him and he'll kind of tell me what I'm missing or what I forgot to include and that kind of thing.
So you're not just springing these things on him?
Oh, sometimes I do. But most of the time he knows what's going on. And he actually has given me some great ideas. And it was funny that you mentioned the one about the shirt. I think that was his favorite line in my whole book, was talking about the shirt that he wore just yesterday. That was a highlight for him. So
now, at what point did this then become a newspaper column? Did you start to pitch this to some local newspapers?
I did, and actually I kind of had an in because I have relatives that my aunt and uncle Kim and Lucy Halverson of the Lyman County paper. They also own the Chamberlain Oklahoma Sun. I pitched it to them first, and that's kind of where I landed my first column in a newspaper. And I did make some personal stops at some of the other newspapers, like in Miller and DeSmet, and it just kind of snowballed. Tri-State Neighbor was another one that I pitched, and then the Mitchell Daily paper actually contacted me. They had been reading some of my columns in some of these other weekly papers.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction there, that you've said that you inadvertently learned that finding humor in unpleasant circumstances can be a coping tool with dealing with the challenges of ranch life. Did you have that sense of humor before you started writing, even before you started putting these things in your journal?
No, really. It was more, you know, in the heat of the moment, there's a lot of stress, and I think for me, it could have been a deal where I needed to distract myself from the fact that if this could get too bad, I could start crying because I, especially if I'm by myself, there's just all this stress. And I think I, when I realized that, you know, after the fact that there were some funny things about that, then I started to look in a whole different perspective and try to see, okay, well, yeah, this is really stressful, but what could be funny about this? Because now I'm looking for something to write in my column every week, and it's that's kind of where it's taken me. So initially, I would dwell more on the stress, and now I kind of use the humor as a way to get through some of these challenges.
So it sounds like writing has helped you in just your daily life and the way that you approach ranching and working with your family.
Absolutely. I kind of consider it as an outlet. Just yesterday, we were moving cows, and we had to push them under the bridge, and of course, we had a minor fiasco with calves getting on the highway, and it's always this anxiety of those little jobs that seem simple enough to do, but there's always some kind of setback. You just never know what to expect, and so, yeah.
I imagine one of the questions a lot of people ask you is, you know, where do you get your ideas from your columns? And I'm wondering that it sounds like some of them pop up just naturally through what you're doing through just working with your family, daily experiences on the ranch, or is it a case of, you know, as you're doing something, are you thinking, oh, I got to write about this? Or do you wait for them to unfold before you realize, oh, that's something we can write about?
Well, actually, you know, there are times, I'll admit, there are times when it's really stressful to try to figure out what I'm going to write about. But I definitely take in what we do throughout the week. And it might be just something very simple that I notice just in our everyday ranch work and that kind of thing. But I'm definitely always kind of on what I would call high alert for anything that can be used as a story or whatever. But a lot of times, like you say, there are things that just kind of inadvertently happen, and so it gives me something to kind of base a column on. And I know that there's lots of people out there that can relate to the same kind of things that we experience, and so that is also kind of a encouragement as far as coming up with a story topic.
One of the themes that crops up quite frequently in the essays that are collected, the columns that are collected in your book, A Ranch Wife's Slant, is the importance of closing gates. And you have something, one of the essays kind of touches on that a little bit as far as marriage and finding a spouse. And I wonder if you could read just the first couple of paragraphs on the column, Go Gators.
Yes, I can sure do that. And, you know, really, gates is something that I think is a common, funny topic among farm and ranch wives and their spouses. And so, yes, I'll share with you just a couple paragraphs. One of the main reasons ranchers get married is so they have a lifelong companion who will always be around to open gates. This job can be very time and energy consuming for one man, so it's usually handled by his wife. Unless we're talking King Ranch kind of wealthy, the majority of ranches' gates are manual. When a woman is being courted by a rancher, it would behoove her to go for a drive with him to check cows to find out just what kind of rancher she's dating. If his outfit is equipped mostly with auto gates or easy open and close gates, she can be sure he's courting her for love and not for gate reasons. But any woman who accepts a man with flawed gates is a tolerant woman and is considered a keeper by rancher standards.
What I like about what you're writing about, particularly the difference between men and women and your relationship with your husband, is there's a lot of books that have been written. I guess you could call them those book like Bridget Jones and those sorts of books. But this gets at a whole different side of the relationships between men and women, because there's that ranch background, and it's something new and different, I think. It's not that cliched sort of thing that we kind of see of, you know, the city thing, the men and women relationships. Is this something that you find that people of both genders can relate to, is the difference between men and women with that the ranch and the farming and the rural background?
I think so. You know, I always try to have a wide range of readers in mind, and a lot of the topics that I talk about are just really common, especially gender gap issues and that kind of thing are really common among men and women. But I think what makes our relationship different, or the relationship between husbands and wives on farms and ranches, is the fact that they work together day in and day out, and then they see each other when they get home in the evening. And so there's just a whole wide range of extra, what would you say, patience and understanding that has to go along with working together on a ranch. You don't have just the frustration of trying to get along in the household. You also have the frustration of trying to work with livestock on a daily basis.
And you write about how your husband is more attentive to the calves and the cattle's health than his own health. That's kind of funny.
That, yeah, it's funny. Ranchers, I think, a lot of times will micromanage the diet of their livestock more than they will their own diet. So,
you're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with Amy Kirk. She's a humor columnist. Her column, Our Ranch Wife Slant, can be read in a number of papers around South Dakota. She has a new anthology of her columns. It's called A Ranch Wife Slant, Cowboys, Kids, and Ranch Life. And Amy, did you find that readers who live on ranches respond to your column differently from those who don't?
Yeah, I get a lot of reader comments. I would say there's even ranchers or farmers from like two generations older than myself really can relate to some of the things that I write about. But I do get comments from women or people who were raised on a farm or ranch and kind of got away from that, and they recall memories of growing up on the farm or ranch. But I've also had people approach me that say, I just love hearing about your fascinating lifestyle, because if it's something they have no idea what it's like, they can find that they can sort of live vicariously through some of my columns and my essays.
And for those of us who don't live on ranches, you've got early in the book, you open with a glossary of ranch country language. Was that... you think that's important, or is that just part of the humor of the whole book?
I think it's both. I did that intentionally because with a book, I just felt that I was going to reach a wider audience, and I wanted people to kind of understand what the heck I was talking about, because it's really pretty common to use that terminology. And of course, I put a humorous spin on it too, and that's the thing I like about humor is you can write something that's truthful, but there's a little bit of an exaggeration to it, and I think that people are drawn to that. And so, yeah, I tried to keep that part of the readership in mind, the people that maybe aren't familiar with our lifestyle, and kind of get them hooked in right off the bat with starting with the language, so they can be like, I wonder what this pertains to, kind of thing.
Also in the book, you write about your two kids, Miles and Renee, and it sounds like they pretty much had to start working right away.
Yeah, we always kind of joke that our son Miles was like a little man, because he was around his grandpa and his dad almost all the time. And so when he would talk, a lot of times some of the things that he would say just sounded like he was a rancher at the coffee shop, So, yeah, our kids have been around it a lot. That's just part of the way our lifestyle is we wanted them to be a part of it. And of course, if my husband was gone or if I was gone, the kids just had to go with Dad. And so they were exposed to it at a really young age, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
One of the great things about the book is you have these quotes from both Miles and Renee, and It's really fun that you get their perspective. Here's one from Miles at age 8. My knuckles have had a hard week. So you really, what do you learn about ranching life from the perspective of the kids and those quotes?
Well, what I think is really funny is just that they're always watching and you just don't realize it. I think one of my favorite quotes pertained to Miles was, comparing his sister chewing green beans when she was a baby to a windrower because it looked like hay inside there is what he said. And it's just funny how the kids go along with you when you go and check cows and stuff, but they are observing what's going on. You just don't think they're registering it until later something comes out, and it's totally funny and ranch related, and it's like, you know where that kid came from.
Here's Miles at age 5. Me and Dad are going to work. We can't be goofing around.
Yeah.
And here's one. He's a little bit older here at 15. I'm in charge of everything that goes wrong.
That one was really funny because it pertained to our branding day, and we had branded. It was early in May, and we had horrendous winds that were very erratic, and it acted like it was going to snow, and so one of the guys that came to help us asked Miles if he had ordered the weather, and that's where that comment came from.
Now, reading about this and all the work that goes on at the ranch there by Pringle, a question that I have, and I'm sure all of your readers have, is where do you find time to write? Because you also have a blog as well.
Yeah. You know, it can be pretty challenging. I do have a very supportive husband. Art allows me a couple days each week to dedicate to my writing, but I do spend a lot of time. I get up very early in the morning, sometimes around 4 in the morning, and that's when I'm freshest. And so I do a lot of writing in the morning, but I do dedicate at least 2 days a week to try to hone my column. But it is a struggle at times because sometimes we've got stuff going on that I have to kind of work in the column writing late at night or, like I say, early in the morning. So sometimes it's kind of a juggling act because there's stuff that's going on all the time. Sometimes it's planned, sometimes it's unexpected. So it can be the blog, I feel, sometimes kind of gets neglected because of priorities on the ranch.
Do you feel like your writing has changed or evolved in any way since you first started publishing the column?
Yeah, actually, some of my earlier columns I'm almost embarrassed by because it's like, wow, I feel like I've really come a long way in polishing my craft, and I like that about myself as a writer. I've done a lot of reading about the type of writing that I enjoy, which is humor writing. And I continue to look at other columnists and other writers that I admire to kind of base some of my writing technique off of or to improve my own. So, yeah, I think from the beginning I basically had an idea, and it's kind of evolved from that. So I'm quite amazed that there's some people that have read my columns from the get-go and are still reading.
are there certain those columnists and writers that are particularly, you know, some names that that you particularly look to for inspiration?
Well, I feel that Lee Pitts is one that I think that we have similar writing styles and thoughts. Of course, Baxter Black is one I've always kind of admired. But also Dave Barry, just because he talks about the everyday things of being a husband and being in a marriage and a parent and that kind of thing. But also Mary Roach is another one. She used to write a column, and she's written some science-type books but has lots of humor, and I kind of enjoy that as well. But I also am inspired by cartoonist Jerry Palin. He writes he does the Stampede cartoon, and I really, really can relate to a lot of that. And so there's times when I feel like I'm the character Flo in his cartoon.
For you, what was it like in going back and collecting these columns and then putting them in this book?
Well, first of all, I thought it would be real easy to just pick out, you know, the best columns and the ones that readers had kind of commented on that drew a lot of attention. But like I say, as I had said earlier, looking back at the beginning of some of my columns, I'm like, oh, this really, really needed to be polished more. And so I did spend a little more time trying to improve upon my earlier columns. But it was also fun to kind of reminisce, and I think my favorite part of compiling the book was putting together the kids' quotes, because I've written down the things my kids have said since they began to talk, and I kept them on scratches of paper until I had time to transpose them into a book. And so I was able to go back and read through those, and they really, I think, were kind of the humorous part for me to include them in my book. But yeah, it was, I'm indecisive at times, and so trying to decide which columns to cut and which to include was kind of hard for me. I just didn't know which ones would be a good fit at times, but we figured it all out.
Amy Kirk has published a new collection of her columns. It's called Ranch Wife Slant, Cowboys, Kids, and Ranch Life. And you can find more about it online at her website, amykirk.com. And Amy, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure.